Still studying peace. The Greek word for peace is shalom, which also means prosperity, hello, goodbye, everything else.
Greek or Hebrew?
I mean Hebrew. Excuse me. But often the word shalom is translated as prosperity. And so when our little friends talk about God wants you to be rich and prosperous, he's talking, really saying he wants you to have peace, or he wants you to have a completed journey. The Greek word for peace is Irene. Now, peace, spiritual, well, let's just talk about it in a minute. Health is, by definition, would be physical peace. Virtue is moral peace. And holiness is spiritual peace. But the trick is that you're in spiritual peace no matter what the health or everything else is. And that's the mystery, because peace is a person. What? You're doing it again, Gary.
I'm about to sneeze. I'm trying to...
You're going to learn how to decipher these faces.
That's a funny face.
Don't sneeze.
Now, carnality always tries to have peace by changing conditions, or either the location or condition or whatever. You try to have something physically change in order that you would have peace. And so, you know, it's really the source of divorce. It's the source of constant movement. Something needs to change in order for you to have peace. Somebody needs to change their behavior in order for you to have peace. None of those are true.
In marketing, those are the magic words to sell products. Change and new. Anything just new. Different. Never satisfied with what they have.
The whole of the mystery of God is a journey from no peace to peace. They use a metaphor of climbing a mountain. The difference is that the mountain has already been climbed, and the real you is already at the top, or the pinnacle of peace. But you have to find out what peace isn't before you can know what peace is. That's why, in truth, you really never know what you want to do. If you have any integrity, you simply know what you don't want to do. And then what you want to do is always, you know, the next step, the mystery. And that was the whole mystery of Abraham as the perfect Christian, is because that's all that Abraham ever did is, you know, he made 50 million errors, but he just said, I don't want to do that anymore. And wherever he was, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to go there anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. And the end of that was, he saw God and was transfigured, or his name was changed from Abram to Abraham, and the ha is the breath of God. The question is, how do you find peace? There's only one way. You have to try everything else. And the problem is that you circumcise yourself. And so, therefore, you give occasion for your mind to believe all kinds of lies because you invent the world of your mind and have sweet thoughts, but they're not, but it's just an illusion because you're asking, you know, again, as we said yesterday, you take God where he isn't. Because you have the capacity to, you have the capacity for your imagination. Man is the only creature that has the imagination. And so you create the idolatry in the walls of your mind by your imagination. Some of you know a whole lot about this.
Masters.
What?
Some of us are masters.
But let's look at a few places. Let's go to Haggai. Remember, everybody remember what Haggai is? Israel was in bondage in Babylon, just as they are today. And God called Ezra and Nehemiah to have the people return. When they got and the only ones that returned from Babylon were those ones that were screwed up, the ones that hadn't made it. And so they got back to Jerusalem, and the only thing of the temple that was still intact was the cornerstone and the altar. And that's, again, it's obvious, you can see it's the same story today. And so they spent a few years working on the wall and trying to rebuild the temple. But then they returned to their own lives, and they, you know, the same, much, again, it's the same as it is today. They returned to, just like the disciples did when Peter encouraged or led a group of the disciples, seven of them, to go a fishing, go back to their old way of life after Christ was crucified. And Haggai came along, and his injunction was, or his message was, you idiots, you're doing the same thing that they are doing in Babylon. You're concerned with building your own houses, your own lives. You're concerned with your own self-realization. All right, so let's read Haggai. Who's Gary? Are you there?
Chapter 1. Second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel.
No, stop a minute. Zerubbabel, there was the first temple was the temple that Solomon built. The second temple, then it was destroyed in 586 B.C., and they went for years and years and years. There was no temple. So the second temple was, the rebuilding of that temple was the Zerubbabel temple. And so they built that up a little bit. And then the third temple was the temple that was built by Herod. Okay?
Governor of Judah answered Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways.
Now stop. Do you understand that it's that the message of Haggai is the same as the message today? To live in your sealed house, your ceilinged houses, simply means that you're concerned. You built your own covering. This is always true. Any thoughts on this, John?
Just the fact that the temple didn't have a ceiling or anything.
Right.
So it's like you've got all your ducks in a row for your personal whatevers. And thinking up reasons, this is a time thing too, because you're thinking up reasons why it's not time to move ahead with this plan or whatever the thing is. And it's always time. Time is now.
It's interesting how it's always the opposite, because anybody left alone, the first thing they do is look for covering. Got to find, either build it or get under something, someplace you can be protected.
Remember, in the earliest days, a synagogue had to be on top of a hill where it could not be protected from the wind, and they met in open air.
I forgot those days.
And why was that?
So that they would be, they had nothing to protect them from the wind of the Holy Spirit.
Unless you knew that your covering is God.
Your only covering is God.
Damn.
Who told you were naked?
Amen.
I've never heard it put that way, but that's
cool. So you see how we're in exactly the same place today? We're exactly in the same place that Cain and Abel were. We're digging around in the earth trying to grow something that will be acceptable. We dig around by our imaginations. So it's always the same message from the beginning till the end. Does that
because people are the same from the beginning to different.
As is the message. The message is the same.
Like as in the days of Noah, they're marrying, giving in marriage, and blah, blah, blah. Everything I do.
So the whole message of God never changes. Abel was the first prophet. The blood of Abel was the first prophet. So, anyway, continue.
Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes.
Sound familiar?
Yeah, it's too damn familiar. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You look for much.
Go ahead.
You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Saith the Lord of hosts. Because of my house that is waste, and you run every man unto his own house.
Okay, and that's...
Is this where our little plans for ourselves aren't working? God is
blowing. This is
your
what?
This is your little plans for yourself. Right. Your goofy little ideas of what you want to do.
God's always blowing on them.
But think about what this says. You eat, but you're never satisfied. You drink, but you're not filled. You earn money to put in a bag full of holes. The little you take in, God blows on it. Why? Because you're not in His will. He's doing everything in His power to bring you back under His will. Where the only thing you have to do is to believe on Him who He has sent. You make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the desires thereof.
This is like Jesus, you know, when He said, take no thought, we were reading this last night, this is the fulfillment and commentary and everything about this verse, which is, if you're into yourself, you're always, you can't do anything but try and protect yourself and build sealed houses.
And again, I'd ask all of you, how has this worked out for you?
How's what worked out?
Just, you know, trying to do your best and... Consider the pit from which you were dug. You've convinced yourself that what you're doing, you have to do because you have responsibilities, or this is what's expected, instead of the total 100% complete abandonment of yourself. Everybody understand? What, Gary?
I think about the abandonment is kind of positional, you abandon to God as opposed to keeping little parts.
Well, if you keep parts, you're not abandoning.
Right. I mean, but you try and fool yourself into thinking you have.
You don't try and fool yourself, you do.
Yeah.
And that's why the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Because this makes no sense by anybody's definition. It's not prudent. It's not responsible.
And it's not partial. It's not partial.
No, it's either on or off.
Yeah, it's like believing. You either believe or you don't. You don't sort of believe.
If you sort of believe, you don't believe.
Believing is stepping all the way off the edge, not peering over.
Remember what we've talked about before. This is believe. All right, continue. We haven't gotten to peace yet. Go ahead.
For our radio listeners, he just held a pen and dropped it onto the table. We'll put it
in 10. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains, and upon the corn and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Joshua the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent them, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehoshadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in their house, in their house of the Lord, of hosts their God. On the 24th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king. Oh, no, that's the end of it. month.
Yep.
In the seventh month, in the 1 and 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear you not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts.
Okay. And where it says the glory of this latter house, the word isn't this in Hebrew, it's the. And the latter house is Jesus Christ. This was an exhortation to us and to him, to them, I mean. The revelation of Jesus Christ. But what the takeaway here is, and in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. And in the language of it, it's in no other place is peace. It's positional. So it's back to the New Jerusalem now, on the mercy seat. In this place is peace, and in this place only is peace. Amen?
Yeah. As we were reading that, I was thinking this, it's like he's saying, okay, you've been working a little while on this thing, but you must remember that it's not really looking like much. You can't, what you're seeing and sensing, there's not really this sensory payoff, of anything.
Right.
You've just been scraping dirt together and putting some things in. And he said, but, continue with doing what's in front of you to do, because by your obedience, you're making this incredible, thing that's outside of time and space, and you just can't see it.
Amen.
You have to depend on me. I'm doing all this stuff.
Let's look at what it says about peace. Let's go to Micah.
You're really hitting the minor prophets.
The minor prophets aren't so minor. Micah chapter 4. Kayla, we read.
But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it.
No, again, the word for mountain is high place. The word for heaven is something up, but not up. The proof that it isn't a physical, the place has no physicality, is that the people flow into it, as opposed to climb the mountain.
And so, escape time and space and gravitational.
You flow into it, and again, remember, you got to hear this. on the Feast of Pentecost, in the year that Christ was crucified, the New Jerusalem came down so that the heavenly Matrona and the earthly Matrona, the earthly body, met. And that heavenly Jerusalem, the temple, is our overriding reality. And we have to see through everything to see it. The only way that, you know this whole thing about, and we've talked about, but all of time is flowing from west to east, the opposite of what is doing, and as it flows, only everything that came from eternity or came from the New Jerusalem stays there. Everything else is flowing through and had value for a moment as antagonism, but then it goes out the east gate of the new of Jerusalem into the Valley of Hinnom or Gehenna or the dump, hell. And it only in there to keep the New Jerusalem from smelling. They put lye and what other stuff on it and burn it. So there is the, but for, I mean, the idea of going to heaven or going to hell is meaningless to a true believer. Because you're there already. If you're not there now, you never will be. A little bit. Well, let's see what happens here now. Go ahead.
And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more.
Okay. The word nation there is just the Hebrew word am, and it means people.
What's the Hebrew word?
Am. A.M. And they beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Internally, you got to see. And so instead of if you're upset at something or someone, then the sword that you would normally have used to cut that person up, which is the words and other things, you turned it inward and it became the plowshare which dug in you until you found the idol that was causing you to be upset at the person. And the spear became the pruning hook, which is pruned, which you must see so that that aspect of you is cut off or pruned. You understand? So it's not about, all the nations of the world are going to pretty blah beat their, it's talking to you, so that you no longer have any of these secret hidden things within you that cause you to have these emotional responses, because you've beaten that sword that you used before to justify yourself and defend yourself into a plowshare, so that you can be free of that thing that's been. And it's all about this mystery of emptying, and you can't empty where you have these secret places. So that this is the mystery of God. It's not about external things. Amen?
Yeah. The plow makes, it changes you from being hard ground into ground that is receptive to the seed.
Hot soil!
I'm not supposed to yell.
Let's say it once more. Go to Joel.
Saw the inside.
Joel chapter 3. Well, let's go. Well, no, we're out of time. I'm sorry.
We don't get to read Joel.
No, we'll do it.
To be continued.
Again, everything is finished except your rebellion. Whether it's the rebellion is either conscious or subconscious, it doesn't matter. Everything is perfect. You've been perfected by one offering. The only thing you have, the issue, is believe on Him who He has sent. In every aspect, you bring every single thought into the obedience of Christ. You cast down all these other imaginations, and all these high places that exalt themselves, on which these seven mountains on which the whore is seated. You're no longer deceived by hope. And finally, you can be at rest and be at peace. But not just be at peace for a minute, but never leave it. But the biggest thing is you've got to see that it's 100%. You cannot ever leave that place, because you can't leave that place just a little bit. You leave it totally. And you, by doing so, you've made the Holy Spirit your enemy. There's no reason to leave that place except your own lusts.
I was thinking about that comparison between we're in Haggai and the other thing that Jesus said, take the thought, and it's like the same things could be going on. You could be sitting there doing your work, not seeing anything happening, stuff's going on, there may be a drought, things aren't working, but in one setting, you know that there is no lack of anything, and you're perfectly cared for, and the other one is you're all bent out of shape, and trying harder, and all that kind of stuff.
Amen.
Worry and concern.
Everybody understand perfectly?
No, I'm out of time too.
What don't you understand?
Where do I begin? There's a lot I understand.
It has nothing to do with your ability to understand. It has to do only with your willingness and eagerness for repentance and be willing to be apprehended 100%, leaving no room, no place for yourself. If I perish, I perish. You know, it's the same. I've been saying the same thing for all these years. And the same message is on every page of this Bible. What?
It's always positional. It's in Him or not in Him. But it's like you said at the very beginning. If peace is a person, not a place. Unless that place is him.
Now, do any of you think that you have a need so great that the sacrifice of the Son isn't able to meet it?
We get in trouble if I say yeah. I'm not going to go into detail, but yeah.
And that must be confessed. Otherwise, the Holy Spirit will be your enemy.
It's been confessed.
What?
Over and over and over again.
All righty.
Yeah.
Take it, big guy.